As we move into the Word of the Lord, remember we're on a guided tour, so to speak, this Lenten season. Guided to the cross. Guided to the cross for all of the ways in which Jesus shows us in his divine origin as the Son of Man, all of that which is about the kingdom being made known through him for us. And we've enjoyed this guided tour, these various weeks of Lent. And now here we are today, being reminded again and given a new attribute of the Lord Jesus. And that's taking place now in our hearts and lives as well. Remember, we were given a passport, right? That began Ash Wednesday. We were marked with the stain of sin in the cross on our forehead and in ashes. But reminded then as we took in Jesus' body and blood, as faith received that joyful sacrament, that we are forgiven. The blood of Jesus renews us, cleanses us, and sets us on a path then, guided to the cross, where our salvation is found. And that forgiveness reminds me of the certainty of hope. We live in that certainty of hope every day. It defines us that what we've been promised is going to be a reality. That hope that defines us. And we've received that through the gift of the Father's love for us. A selfless, self-giving kind of love expressed in the gift of his Son, Jesus. And that love embraces me then in his peace, his reine, which defines me now, these days, and defines my eternity, where my relationship with him and as it's exercised with one another is at peace, marked by forgiveness and love in him. Because all of this is available, we trust in him. It's not us, but the gift of faith that clings to him, trusts in him. And he is trustworthy, and he's proven himself that throughout our lives as his promises are made known, so that I might be faithful as I'm called to persevere. Now that's what we were last week, in the call to persevere in this faith. Run the race, so to speak, set out before us. We're cheered on by the whole company of heaven that's run their race, and they cheer from us now unto eternity. And so we do so, running this race, with a Christ-like attitude of, that's what today's about. What we see reflected in Jesus as he's riding into Jerusalem. What we get to experience today and guided to the cross, this stop that we're experiencing is a parade, right? We're part of a parade. Jesus paraded into Jerusalem. This is a 4th of July parade, I would imagine, right? Or maybe Memorial Day. But anyway, a parade with all of the fancy cars, the fire trucks, the army display, the military display, the pressed and dressed for show, candy and all stuff being thrown to the kids and all that, and all the music and all the joy of a parade. Who doesn't love a parade, right? Of course. Well, this has all the markings of a parade. Like we hear in Matthew chapter 21, there was a very large crowd. Yeah. People had gathered from Bethphage, where Jesus had gotten his donkey, Jerusalem, that whole way, a large crowd. And they were spreading cloaks on the road, like we've got here in front of us. They had taken off their outer garments and laid them on the road for Jesus. Now, isn't that interesting? Usually a parade has stuff thrown to you, but here people were throwing stuff to their cloaks. Palm branches to Jesus. They would cut palm branches from the trees and they would spread them on the road as Jesus was coming into Jerusalem. And the crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed, they shouted. Oh, it must have been a tumultuous roar and a sight to behold, not only with your eyes, but with your ears, with all that was going on. They shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. Wow. A parade. Certainly. But this parade was a bit different, wasn't it? There weren't the shiny cars and fire trucks. There weren't the antique cars with a grand marshal sitting in it all polished up nice. No. There was a donkey with a man from Nazareth, Galilee, riding on it. There wasn't the force of the show of force of power in a military display or a police force or anything that we might celebrate as a country or a community. No, there was just one single man and a straggly group of disciples who followed him. Yet this was a parade. A parade for Jesus the King, the Son of God, as he rode into Jerusalem. Something very different about this parade is important for us to mark. Guided to the cross, it's that Christ-like attitude that Jesus is displaying called humility. Humility. Yeah. Humility is described in several ways, and we even hear it today in the Word. Zechariah the prophet describes Jesus riding on this colt, the foal of a donkey, as one who is lowly. That's a way to describe what we're experiencing here in Jesus' ride into Jerusalem. And the other way that Matthew talks about it is as gentle. These are words that we may understand and grasp in English, but in a very different way they're expressed in those original languages for which Zechariah would prophesy, for which Matthew would seek to get the point across of who this Jesus is, gentle, lowly, exuding humility, riding in Jerusalem. Both mean humble. Both express a display of humility, because the one who is expressing this and living this out already knows the final outcome. And that final outcome is victory. Now think about that for a minute, right? Jesus is riding into Jerusalem, lowly, Zechariah would say, gentle, Matthew expresses, humble, riding on a donkey, because he already knows what the outcome is going to be. He knows the victory. He knows that in a week, his Father will raise him from the dead, bring that life through him to those whom he loves and has called into his kingdom, so that they might be alive in what he's been given, the blessing of a new life breathed by the Holy Spirit, so that we then too might be claimed as people of God. But between the shouts of Hosanna and that resurrection day, he also knows what's going to happen. All those who say they love him will desert him. Peter will deny him. Judas will betray him. They'll scatter in fear. All of those shouts of Hosanna will turn to cries of crucify him in his trial. And death, a gruesome death, will be his. Forsaken even by his heavenly Father. This, brothers and sisters, so that the victory might be known. This is what Zechariah and Matthew, this is what we know in this Jesus, is that he's expressing himself in humility because he already knows the final outcome. He's able to live and express himself this way because he already knows what his Father in heaven is going to do. Now, doesn't that speak to your heart? Don't we already know the victory? Don't we already know the final outcome of our lives defined in Jesus Christ? There might be a week, a time, a day, when life is pretty challenging and difficult. But we know the final outcome. We know the victory. So, as we're guided to the cross, guess what we're called to exercise also in life? Humility. To exercise that which is humble in the eyes of the Lord and very different from the world around us. In fact, I'll be the first one to admit, humility is not an attitude I typically like to exhibit. It makes you feel vulnerable, doesn't it? Yeah. It puts you potentially in a position of ridicule, of being denied by somebody else, you know, pushed aside. It makes us vulnerable to the world, and I'm not sure I necessarily like that. Is that how I want to live? Well, the call of faith and life is not the call of how I want to live, but how I'm called to live in Christ Jesus. In fact, the thought of being humble is not a practice that comes naturally to us in our human character. No, this is something very foreign, isn't it, to us? In fact, when there's a parade, you know what I'd like to be? I'd like to be the Grand Marshal. Yeah, you like that? Right? I want to be the grand marshal of my own parade, my own life, right? I want all of the shouts and all the accolades and all the things that are part of a parade to come to, you put your face there, right? To come to me. I want to be the grand marshal of my life. And is that what we're called to be in Christ Jesus? Who's the grand marshal of our existence? Whom is the parade of my daily life and living for? But for the one who comes into Jerusalem, humble, gentle, lowly, riding on a donkey, riding for my salvation. His name is Jesus. That's why we can think about this question that the crowds cried out when Jesus rode into Jerusalem. In verse 10, we pick it up. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the city was stirred, and they had this question that they were asking. Who is this? Who is this? Who rides into Jerusalem in the parade of palm branches and cloaks spread out on the road to the shouts of Hosanna and does so dressed the way he is, acting the way he is, on a donkey? Who is this? This is Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, and the one who willingly rides into Jerusalem humble and lowly on a donkey for me, for you. We need him to ride into Jerusalem. And we need him to do so this way because this is the direct opposite of who I am in my sinful nature, who we are as sinful human beings. Jesus rides into Jerusalem to address exactly that. And he does so as the king. See, your king comes to you. In all of these ways in which he's expressing, he's still king. He's still the Son of God. He still is sovereign over all. He's just given that up for a little while. Now, among us, on a donkey. But this is the same one who birthed creation, who knew of your existence before the foundations of the world, who knew that this day would come so that you might be with him one day to come. For Jesus already wears the crown of salvation. You might not see it on his head when he's riding on that donkey, but he's still king. He's just given it up for a little while in humility for you and me. This crown of victory and glory is exchanged for a crown of thorns as the sacrifice is laid out for us. Jesus giving up his own life, his own body, humble, and yet knowing the victorious outcome. This is Jesus, friends. This is who you know as your Lord and as your Savior, and who's claimed you by his blood to be his own brother and sister, a child of our Heavenly Father, empowered with by the Holy Spirit to also know and practice humility. To answer that question, who is this? Who is this who's riding into Jerusalem in this way? Who is this Jesus? The crowds were already giving the answer to that question. A word they used was Hosanna, right? They used the word Hosanna. This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee, is what they answered to that question. But they could have used that word just saying Hosanna. Because in their day and in their culture, that word would have been known by those people in this way. It comes from the Hebrew yasha and the word na'ah, combining into that understanding of, oh, save. So when people were shouting Hosanna and laying their cloaks and laying their palm branches, and Jesus was processing into Jerusalem in this unique kind of parade, what they were expressing was, you save, Jesus, Hosanna. Matthew, as he puts this together from the Aramaic and into the Greek for us, and as we understand it in the English, Hoshi'ana, or Hoshi'ana in the Hebrew, or in the Greek, is an exclamation then of adoration pointedly. You, Jesus, save. You are the victory. And so what the people were expressing, what flows from your heart and my life in an exclamation of victory is already, or is exclaiming to Jesus, you save because you already know the final outcome. You know the victory. Oh, well, that's why, Jesus, you come then humbly, lowly, and gentle. That's why you come into my life in this way that's so different from the world and my nature. And it's why then you call me into Hosanna living. Because I too know the final outcome. Hosanna living is a faith expression that comes out of a heart and an attitude of our heart from faith. Like James would say, you heard Bob read this a minute ago, submitting myself to the Lord my God. This is an expression of faith expressed in humility, an attitude of being humble because of who we are in Christ Jesus. I'm saved. I'm redeemed. I know the outcome, where I'm going. I know where I'm going to live for eternity. I know the victory. And so he calls us to this Hosanna living. And here are some opportunities for us of what it might look like as this is lived out now for you and me. Not just today, and not just a week we call holy or a passion week, but every day in life until that final victory. Here's some truths that we can cling to and express in our hearts and lives. Hosanna living conflicts with my nature. It's at war with my human nature. This is good. When there's this conflict in me, it's good because it exhibits that I belong to the risen Lord. When there's this battle going on within me, I'm called to Hosanna living, but I don't want to live like a Hosanna living child. That's good because it exhibits that we know something different and we're called to that something different and it's being worked out in our hearts and lives. Hosanna living intentionally also celebrates what Jesus has done for us, for me, in a world that wants me to be celebrated. Hosanna living celebrates what Jesus has already done for me. And this is at odds with the world. Good. I'm not of this world. I'm of the kingdom of our saving God. And Hosanna living purposefully glorifies the Lord because the parade is not about me. The parade is about the one who gives us the victory, Christ Jesus our Lord. Humility. That aspect of being humble. I don't like those words in my human nature because they're at war within me. They conflict with me and you. I know that. But yet we hear this today and we see it exhibited in the very life of Jesus, guided to his cross as he exhibits humility. A humility that we're called into because of the victory that we already know that's ours. And now we get to live it out to the glory and the praise of our saving God. Blessed Palm Sunday, my friends, in Jesus, our Savior. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for again guiding us to the cross of Jesus in another aspect of who he is, who you are, and exhibited for us in his life. Humility. That one who is humble. Lord, this is exhibited perfectly, wholly in the Son of God, Jesus, our Savior, because he knows the victory and he's aiming for that victory. He completes it, he fulfills that victory, and he gives it to us now, too, to live humbly in you. Hosanna living. Hosanna livers is what we are, Lord, and we give you thanks for that. Let that be known from our hearts, our attitudes, our minds, and all that we are as your people. For we know the victory in Jesus our Savior. In his name we praise you and we pray. Amen. Amen. So may the peace of God that passes our understanding keep our hearts and minds in Jesus our Savior and in that Hosanna living to which he's called us to, Jesus our Savior.